Welcome to this intermediate Ableton Live 12 lesson on bassline theory, where we're going to turn a simple air horn hit into a proper rewind-worthy drop cue for jungle and old-school drum and bass. Now, the air horn in this style is not just a random rave noise. It's a signal. It tells the room something heavy is coming. And in DNB, the pitch of that horn matters a lot more than people think. Get it right, and the horn feels like it belongs to the tune. Get it wrong, and it just sounds pasted on top. In this lesson, we're going to build a short pre-drop and drop transition, tune the horn musically, process it so it cuts through the mix, and shape it with automation so it feels like it's pulling the whole track into the drop. The goal is that classic sound system energy, bold, nasty, and fully intentional. First things first, always decide the tonal center of your track before you choose the horn pitch. That's the bass line theory part. Jungle and old school D&B often live in minor keys like F minor, G minor, A minor, D minor, or E minor. If your bass line is centered around F, then your horn should usually relate to F in a clear way. The safest choice is the root note. The fifth is also very strong. The octave can work if you need the horn to sit higher and cut through more easily. And if you want a darker or more dangerous feeling, you can experiment with tension notes like the flat second or the tritone. Here's the quick musical rule of thumb. Root is safest. Fifth is powerful and stable. Minor third gives you a darker emotional pull. Flat second and tritone are the dangerous options, and they can be sick if you use them with confidence. If you want the horn to feel like it's announcing the drop, root or fifth is usually the best place to start. Now let's load the sample in Ableton Live 12. Drag your air horn onto an audio track. Double-click the clip and check whether warp is on. If the horn is long and tonal, Complex Pro is usually a good start. If it's a shorter transient hit, Beats can work. If you want it smeared into a more atmospheric rave texture, Texture can be interesting. If the sample already has pitch baked in, that's fine, but the cleaner the sample, the easier it is to tune properly. Next, find out what note the horn is naturally sitting on. You can use tuner on the track and trigger the sample, or load it into simpler and play it chromatically. The point is to find the sample's home note before you start shifting it around. That makes the tuning much more accurate, and it helps you avoid the classic mistake of forcing a sample somewhere it doesn't want to live. Once you know the original pitch, choose your target note based on the drop. If your tune is in F minor, tuning the horn to F gives you a direct root note signal. Tuning it to C, the fifth, gives you a more open and anthemic feel. If the mix is dense and dark, moving the horn up an octave can help it cut through. And if you want serious tension, you can try something like G flat, which gives you that flat second pressure before the drop lands. If the sample isn't already in key, you've got a few ways to tune it in Ableton. In simpler, adjust transpose in semitones and fine-tune if needed. If you're using an audio clip, use the clip view transpose control. Or if you're triggering the horn from MIDI in simpler or sampler, just play the note you want directly. That third method is often the most musical, because now the horn behaves like an instrument instead of a fixed sound effect. A really effective move in jungle and old school DNB is to make a two-hit horn phrase instead of a single hit. For example, if you're in F minor, the first hit can be F and the second hit can be C. That creates a classic warning shape. The first hit establishes the key. The second opens the energy. Then the drop lands. It feels deliberate, and it gives the listener a sense that the tune is building towards something specific. In the arrangement, try placing the first horn on the last beat of bar 7, then the second horn on beat 1 of bar 8, and let the drop hit in bar 9. That little bit of space creates anticipation. And if you want extra rewind energy, you can cut the drums for a beat before the drop, throw in a short horn hit, maybe add a vinyl stop or tape stop effect, and then slam the full break and bass back in. That's a very classic tension release move. Now let's talk processing. A solid stock Ableton chain for this would be EQ8, saturator, compressor or glue compressor, then a bit of echo or reverb, and utility at the end. Start with EQ8 and high pass the horn somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz so it stays out of the subzone. That's important. Air horns do not need low end. If there's harshness in the upper mids, especially around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz, tame that a little. And if the horn needs more body, a gentle boost around 800 Hz to 1.5 kHz can help it speak. Then add some saturator. Just a bit of drive can make the horn nastier and more present on smaller speakers. You don't need to crush it. 2 to 6 dB of drive is often enough. Keep an eye on the output so the volume doesn't jump unexpectedly. After that, use light compression if the horn is too spiky. You're not trying to flatten it, you just want steady impact, a moderate ratio, a slightly slower attack, and a reasonable release will usually do the job. For space, a short dark reverb or a filtered delay can be perfect. In this style, the tail should support the transition, not blur it. If you use echo, try a simple 1/8 or 1/4 setting and filter the return, so it stays out of the way. If you use reverb, keep the decay fairly short and roll off some top end. That gives you a vintage, dusty feeling without washing out the drop. Utility is useful at the end if you need to control the width. Often, a horn sounds stronger when it's focused and centered. Too much stereo width can make it feel less punchy in mono and weaker on a sound system. So unless you're aiming for a big rave wash, keep it fairly centered. Now the real magic, automation. The rewind-worthy feeling often comes from movement, not just the sample itself. Try automating a low-pass filter to open up in the last half bar before the drop. You can also automate volume for a small swell, or send more of the horn into reverb right before the drop so the tail spills into the gap. That gives the impression that the whole track is being pulled forward. This is where the horn and bass line need to talk to each other. If the horn is on the root, make sure the bass line supports that note at the drop or lands on it cleanly. If the bass line is moving around, that's fine too. Just make sure the horn complements the motion instead of fighting it. For example, if you're in F minor, the bass line might move between F, E flat, and C, while the horn hits F and C. That combination gives you both stability and movement. Another really important point is phrase shape. Don't think of the horn as one single event. Think in phrases. One horn can announce the drop, but two or three carefully spaced hits can create much more excitement. You can even try a call and response pattern, like root, fifth, octave, then back to root on the drop. That gives the listener a stronger sense of progression without needing extra melodic layers. If you want to push it further, try layering the horn. Keep the original horn as the main sound, then add a quiet octave up layer for more bite. You can also add a short noise burst or air hit underneath it if you want extra attack. Just keep the layers tight and make sure they don't fight the snare, the reese edge, or any vocal shouts in the same frequency range. Mid-range placement is everything here. That's where the horn either feels huge or gets lost. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't choose a pitch without checking the key. Don't leave too much low end on the horn. Don't over-widen it. Don't drown it in reverb. And don't pitch it so far that it turns into a cartoon version of itself. Also, always check it in the full arrangement. A horn that sounds massive in solo can easily be too much once the drums, bass, and breaks are all moving. If you want a darker variation, try pitching the horn to the flat second. In F minor, that would be G flat. That can sound seriously menacing if the bass line supports it. Another nice trick is to pair the horn with a short rewind vocal like rewind, pull up, or wheel up, tuned to the same key. That can make the whole moment feel more like part of the tune's identity, rather than just a sample drop. For practice, build a simple 4-bar transition in F minor. Make a basic breakbeat loop with kick and snare, add a sparse bass pattern centered on F, then tune the horn to F for the first hit and C for the second. Process it with EQ8, saturator, utility, and a light reverb send. Place the first horn on the last beat of bar 3, the second on beat 1 of bar 4, and let the full drop hit right after. Then listen back in headphones, on small speakers, and with the full low end. The goal is to make the horn feel like it's calling the drop into existence. So, to wrap it up, the best air horn hit pitch is the one that works with the key, supports the bass line, and creates tension on purpose. Root, fifth, and octave are your safest musical choices. Flat second and tritone are your darker, more dangerous options. High pass the horn, add a bit of saturation, use light compression, and automate movement to build the signal before the drop. If the bass line is the engine, the air horn is the shout from the crowd right before the wheels roll back in. That's the energy. Tight, tuned, and ready for a rewind.